morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship this service, and we've got quite a few announcements, and we're grateful that you're here, and I'll try to expedite getting through the announcements so that we can get into the heart of the matter and worship. Today we are having our annual Brunswick stew down at Kelly's Farm, Windy Roost. If you are going and you don't know how to go, the address, I didn't put it in there, but it's in your church directory.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
It's not. It's the forest address in the directory. I just looked it up.
Well, then I'll tell you now, right slowly, if you haven't been there before. 730 Clay's Ferry Crossing Road, Gladys, Virginia. Got it? You can ask me afterwards. Everyone's invited. Bring a chair and a side. We're going to have a great time. Just a good time for fellowship. It's also a good time for fundraising as the leftovers or the to-go orders will be sold and all the money will benefit Parkview. Speaking of that, we are raising money for bus passes. There are envelopes if you want to use cash, if you want to use a check, make the check out to the Well Church, put bus passes, Parkview, in the memo line, and we will give that next week as I will be out of town. We will have a guest speaker, and I want you to come. Make sure there's a temptation that when the cat's away, the mice stay home. Don't do that. You guys are more mature in the faith. You won't do that. But just come and support Todd Blake. He is a wonderful guy. It'll be a good presentation. And he is the executive director of Parkview. And we'll present that check to him then. So he'll have a great message. And John and Tricia will be leading the service. So that will be a wonderful thing too. So, also, you will see we have the boxes that are some of the boxes assembled for Christmas box. We are doing that again, the shoe boxes. We will have a speaker for that on the 23rd of this month that will speak. But there's some things that you can do before that. I have the QR code and I've tested it, and I'm not very computer literate, so if I can do it, you can do it. Just take your phone, go like you're taking a picture of this little QR code, and a link will pop up. And click on that link, and it'll give you all the information you need. With the boxes, there's instruction, whether it's a boy or girl, on the labels or on the back. Also, they've given us, at the meeting we went to, pictures of different people they help as for you to take to use as prayer reminders. So this isn't just a chore we do and we're done with. We continue to keep them in prayer. And I don't know if this is new, Webb. You can tell me if it's new or not. But there are also these little sheets, and it looks childish because the recipients are children. But you just fill it out and put it in the box, and it basically tells you something about you. And so that it's not just they're getting a gift from a stranger. We're trying to build a relationship.
New this year.
Okay. Yes, sir. So those are all of that's on the narthex. Any other thoughts about that, Webb?
No. I think we got 50 boxes, right?
Yes, sir.
But we got them early enough. If I'm being honest, my goal is I'd like to fill 100 boxes.
Good.
If we can, and it's not very expensive to do it. But we also forgot to bring our boxes. We forgot to even fold them yet. But anyone that got boxes, if you could try and bring them by next week, so the quicker we get them out, the quicker we get them back in. And maybe at that point, if we do fill 50, we can try and fill another 50.
Sounds good. So Webb said we have committed to 50. We're hoping to do 100. That's very doable. The men and women's group are constructing the boxes, which is simple. So they'll be bringing those in. And if you have those that you got from Wednesday night, try to bring them this coming Sunday.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other announcements? Prayer requests. We want to give praise. Robert Wright had a heart attack. he had two arteries that were pretty much completely blocked, but they're open now. And I think he did all of this so that he could wind up being in the hospital on his birthday and get all the attention from the nurses. But he is back there looking as well as he ever did. How are you feeling, buddy?
Feeling great. I can go back over it now.
Okay.
All them nurses.
All right. We've been praying for you. Prayer requests. Yes, Brandon. Let's keep Barry and Gail in our prayers as they are going to Italy as we speak. Brandon dropped them off. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Martha.
Nancy Turner's benefit about a week or so ago raised almost $16,000. She had some more treatments and scans. Will be leaving for MD Anderson Cancer Hospital down in Houston. She and her husband are going. So keep them in prayer. I really want to see God do a miracle.
Well, let's keep that in prayer. Nancy Turner, she'll be going to the hospital in Houston, which I hear from Andy is a fine hospital. So let's keep her in prayer and just let her know your church is praying.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Mom?
Bob Carson.
Let's keep Bob in our prayers. He had a defibrillator pacemaker installed Friday. And doing well. So, yes, ma'am.
Jack had his first MRI and came back negative, so we'll pray to God for that.
I love you. You know what you call him?
I know his dad's name.
Justice.
It's Justice.
They are two peas in a pod.
They were. Yeah.
So, Justice, as praise God that his MRI was clear. That's great. Yes, sir.
Helen Kinzer, as always.
Yes, sir.
Kelly Osborne, good friend of mine, is daughter-in-law, cancer.
Did I spell her name correctly in there?
O-S-B-O-R-N-E.
I did. Okay, great. Let's keep Helen and Nick Kelly in our prayers. Thank you. Yes, sir, David.
Vivian and Bob's got some physical problems, mental problems, he's in long-term care. And Mary Kessler.
Okay. So, Mary, and then Bob and Vivian are about the fifth one from the bottom. So circle that and keep those in prayer. All right? Great. We will keep those in prayer. Yes, ma'am.
John and Kim. Kim's mother died yesterday. Jane Burnett. The whole family.
So if you didn't hear that... John and Trisha's daughter-in-law, Kim, that has played for us and we know her, her mother, Jane Burnett, died. And we want to keep the family in prayer. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Webb.
If we could continue to keep my nephew Colin in prayer. My brother got his first letter from him the other day. And it's the craziest thing I ever saw. The kid's a good handwriting and can spell. And the letter looked like it came from a fifth grader. And you could tell he was probably just shaking when he was writing it, misspelling words. And his words, he's going through pure hell. But he said he's not going to quit. And he's not coming off that island until he's in the Marine. But if we just keep him in our prayers.
To give you the context, Colin is in his third week of Marine boot camp. So he's, which is a tough thing I've heard. Any others? Ms. Agnes.
Ray Freeman has an infection.
Is that Brenda Freeman's husband? A different one. Okay. Ray Freeman. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, what a joy it is to come together with family and to share these requests. And to know that we are not alone, for we are gathered as one together with you. And as one, we lift these requests, thanking you in advance for your faithfulness. As we know from our lives, as we know from Scripture, as we'll hear again today, you are absolutely faithful. And that may we please disregard any circumstances or evidence or situations that are all temporary and all would tempt us to doubt your faithfulness. But like Abraham, may we look not to those things which would discourage, but may we simply listen. And in faith given by the Holy Spirit, believe your promise. So we claim that promise for all these that have been mentioned. We pray that you would be with the Burnett family. We just pray that you'll bless them, bring comfort and strength and peace. Pray that you'd be with Kim in particular and John Jr. and all their family. Lift them up and strengthen them. We pray that you would be with Colin as he's in a difficult place, a situation that forces one to grow up very quickly. Encourage him, strengthen him, and may he look back and see that this was a true turning point in his life that you will use to your glory and his good. We pray for those that are traveling. So many are traveling. We thank you for those that have had safe return to us. We thank you that the gardeners are back and the Warmans are back and so many others that have traveled. We pray for those that are traveling today. In particular, we pray that you would be with Barry and Gail as they travel to Italy. We pray that you would continue to be with them. Be with all those that have some physical need. We pray for Ray and for Kelly and for Nancy and for Helen, for Bob and Mary and Vivian and Bob. We pray that you would work in their lives, in their bodies. Bring healing and comfort and strength. We also pray that you would be with the one that we think of at this moment. We thank you in advance for your presence. And we give you praise for bringing Robert through his heart attack, for being able to clean out and unblock a couple of the arteries and just continue to strengthen him. May this just be an opportunity for him now to just continue to know good health. And we thank you for his presence. And we give you thanks that Justice received a clean MRI. And we just pray that you'll continue to encourage him. He's such a blessing to Carolyn and to so many others, and we just thank you for him. For these and all the other blessings you've given us, we know where to give thanks. We look to you with eternal gratitude. And we pray in the name of your precious Son that makes all things well. Amen. If you'll look with me in the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me to the insert. We'll use Psalm 111 before we stand and sing together. We gather together, hymn 637. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation.
Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them.
His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever.
He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works and given them the lands of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever because they are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
Sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem.
Without you, In our weakness, we will surely fail. Therefore, keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second lesson is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preacher in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
faints eternally so. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. In most tests and surveys, and you've probably heard this, that the fear of public speaking is usually a higher phobia for most people than the fear of death, which means most people would rather die than get up in public and speak. And so it's hard to find readers anyway, so I appreciate the cadre of readers we have. And added to that, we ask people to read things that sometimes have some really weird-sounding names. And Brandon, you nailed that. That was an excellent reading of some very difficult names, so thank you, sir. Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, this morning we ask your Spirit to be present. We gather to hear your word and your word alone. May your Spirit make that so through his precious name. Amen. Over 36, 7 years, I've dealt with a lot of people who have come to Christ, who have finally given in to the Spirit's wooing and made their peace with God, gotten saved, however you want to phrase it. And I have never yet had someone say, "Man, I wish I'd waited a little longer." Usually what they say is, "Man, I regret that I didn't come home sooner." I've never had anyone express to me a regret for coming into the family, to becoming a Christian. I wonder if God has any regrets. We've got a bunch of regrets, don't we? We know our regrets. You know what it is to put your all into a project that is defunded or fails. You know what it is to be committed and loyal and you get fired or left. You know what it is to give your heart and your soul to family and friends only to have them ignore you. You know what it is to do something special for someone and they not even thank you. We understand regrets. But let me tell you what the gospel is. When we talk about God and regrets, if I ask you what the gospel is, you might properly tell me from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal life." We know that the gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection, that promise that all who come unto me, I will in no way wise cast out. But I'm going to add to you that the scripture would also say the gospel has a huge, writ large statement that he does that without any regrets. That should cause you to rejoice. For what it means is that no one comes in and God says, you know, I really don't know if it was a good idea saving that one. Maybe I threw good money after bad on that one. You know, maybe that one could just leave me. God has no regrets. And we see in the passage today from Luke, and many commentators and many preachers get this wrong because, as we so often do, we're tempted to think that everything's about us, so Scripture might as well be about us too. This gospel passage is not about how we should be more grateful. We should be more grateful. But it's not a moralistic story that's telling us you better be more grateful. It's a secondary meaning, I guess. The main point of this story is to tell us how God works. To show us something about Christ and show us how He works. Let's go through the story again. Jesus is on His way with other pilgrims to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And as He's going along with other believers to celebrate the high holy day of Passover in Jerusalem, there are these 10 lepers. They're others. They're outsiders. They're outcasts. And if you allow me to say, they're, especially the one identified, they were two-time losers. They not only were lepers, which was the term used for what we call today Hansen's disease, just a terrible, terrible disease that would basically eat your body away and body parts would fall off, and it was grotesque to look at and fearful of contagion. And if you had leprosy, you had to keep your distance. You had to cover your face and you had to cry out by obligation when someone got near so they wouldn't get too near. You had to say three times, unclean, unclean, unclean. On top of that, they were Samaritans. Those that came from mixed races and worshiped the wrong way. These were just people that decent people left alone, walked to the other side of the road. But when they came by, they cried out to Jesus. They cried out to Jesus, and I want you to note what they said. I want you to note two things in this passage about their crying out. They called Him Master. So what we have here are those that, quote unquote, are from the wrong religion, the wrong side of the tracks, but they knew that this was the master of the sea and the winds. But it's interesting, the second thing I want you to note is they didn't ask Jesus to fix their situation. They didn't ask Jesus to take away their leprosy. They didn't ask Jesus to make the wrong right. If you were like me, we often go to prayer, and too often we not only want the Lord to work, we want Him to work the way we think He should work. So our prayers are not so much petitions, it's more of a transfer of a to-do list so that the Almighty would respond as we think best. They don't ask Jesus to take care of their leprosy. They simply ask that the Master of the universe would have mercy upon them. They understood that as terrible as being a leper was, as terrible as being shunned by being in the wrong culture was, their greatest need was that they were not redeemed. Their greatest need was to have mercy. And Jesus, as He will do every time in that request, He heals them, every one of them. And one returns to give Him thanks. Nine did not. And we could focus on why the nine didn't, you know, we live in an ungrateful world. But that's not the point here. The point here is, Jesus didn't do what you would have done. And maybe if you would have, I'll just be honest, Jesus didn't do what I would have done. Had I healed 10 lepers with the almighty power I have in me, and only one came back, You know what I would have immediately done? I would have reversed the healing of the other nine till they were grateful, worthy of my mercy. But that's not how our Savior works. It's without regret. The ungrateful ones were just as healed as the grateful one. That's how God works. He heals even the ungrateful. He cleanses even those that are unworthy. He shows His love without regret. That's what this story says. Let me see if I can draw a couple, three lessons from it. The first lesson is our status or who we are, it doesn't impress God. It doesn't impress God. We work hard to maintain an image. We strive to prop up this certain image, reputation, posture, so we might impress the world. So our neighbors think we have it all together, and our family members might think we're doing just fine, and we put forth this image. And in the words of that country singer Shania Twain, that don't impress God much. For He's not one that's impressed. He's not a respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. Aren't you grateful that God's not impressed by our success when we get it right? Because the truth would follow as day follows night. If God was impressed by us having it all together, what follows from that? When we fail, when we stop having it all together, when the picture began to crack, then He'd have to be depressed. And the truth of the matter, God is not moved by our status. And isn't that beautiful? What does that mean we can do? It means we can do what the author of Hebrews says, we can enter into a rest. We can lay down the need to impress God, or anyone else for that matter. One of my favorite books, and the movie is just as good, I think, is Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz. And do you remember the anxiety of the wizard when he was maintaining his image by working those cranks, and little Toto came to pull the curtain back on the facade? And you, if you saw the movie or read the book, you know there's a lot of anxiety in keeping that image up, isn't it? Do you remember how calm and peaceful and restful he was when he dropped the facade? And he had the freedom to confess, I'm a terrible wizard. Half decent man, but a terrible wizard. And that's the way we relate to God. He looks upon us, as Psalm 103 says, and He doesn't demand or even expect perfection, because He knows your frailties. He knows you're but dust. Most of us have children or grandchildren that put on adult clothes and makeup. You remember that? They wanted to be grown-ups. So you came home and they're wearing shoes far too large and lipstick all over their face because they wanted to be like mommy and to be grown up. And we look at that and we think it's cute. And it is cute when 4 and 5 year olds try to project an image that's not them. It's less cute, not cute at all, and absolutely unnecessary when we seek to impress God by our status. But the other thing we see here is not only our status, who we are, doesn't impress God, our behavior or what we do doesn't trigger His mercy. We don't earn or win God's love. And there's a teaching that from pietism and things that I don't have time to go into slips into so much of even evangelical Christianity that cuts at the heart of the gospel. And it's this mentality, is, if I could be blunt and just put it in one sentence, the teaching that the more you obey, the more blessed you'll be. So if you really want to be blessed, you better be really obedient. Now let me be the first to say, we are given the commandments of the Lord, and we are, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to seek to walk in holiness and greater discipleship. But that's not what triggers God's mercy. God doesn't bless you more because you're obedient. Oh, I got a big test in a week. I better mind my P's and Q's. Oh, I've got surgery coming up. I better make sure I'm real tight on obedience. See, the truth of the matter is, as we see in this parable, whether you were grateful or not grateful, you got healed. You were shown mercy. God doesn't love you because of your behavior. He loves you because of His character as being a God of love and the work of Jesus Christ. A truth that's an axiom that you've heard me say, and I'm going to repeat it because we need to be reminded. God loves you perfectly, which means He can't love you more or less. He doesn't love some more and some less. He loves perfectly. And therefore, because He loves you perfectly, there is absolutely nothing you can do to make God love you more than He does right now. And the graceful truth is, there's absolutely nothing you could do that would make Him love you less than He loves you right now. God loves you perfectly, right now, without regrets. And then the final thing is to answer the question, why does God love me perfectly right now without regrets? If it's not because of my status and not because of my behavior, it's got to be because of His character. Or as we read in the last line of the reading from 2 Timothy, even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. He remains faithful. See, it's His status that matters, not ours. He's the Almighty God. It's His behavior that matters. He was a perfect, obedient Son. All we have to do is believe Him. Trust Him. And it's ours, because it's already done. That's why verse 19 says, your faith has made you well. Just believe it, because it's already there. It's done. And whether you're the thief on the cross who just looked to Jesus, or this leprous Samaritan, or the nine that were ungrateful, or you today in whatever situation you're in, God loves you perfectly without any regrets. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together as we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Trusting and abiding God, we lift our hearts to thank and praise You. Because even when we are faithless toward You, You are always faithful toward us. In creation, You made a myriad of wonders for us to enjoy. Yet in our sin, we saw scarcity rather than abundance. In Israel, You made a people for Your own heart, but Your people long to be like other nations. In exile, you taught your prophets and priests to seek the welfare of the city where you had sent them. There, in a foreign land, you made yourself known to your people in a new way, so that when your Son, Jesus Christ, was crucified for our salvation, his disciples saw in his servanthood the pattern of your suffering love. And so, with all the company of heaven, we rejoice in the eternal song.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Restoring God, as in Christ you made a new community out of exiles, so today you gather to your table the leper, the outcast, the lonely, and the wounded. Send your Spirit upon your church, that it may be a community of reconciliation and truth. Sanctify these gifts of bread and of wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of healing and grace, bless those who are in exile and see no way to reach home. Be close to all who have no house to live in, no garden to plant, no food to eat, no respite from sickness, prejudice, oppression, or danger. By the power of your Holy Spirit, abide with those whose time is short, that they may know that if they die with Christ, they will also live with him, that if they endure, they will also reign with him, until that day when he returns in glory, with judgment enfolded in mercy and truth embraced by grace. Ever one God, Trinity of holiness and love.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our Savior loves without regret, shows mercy without distinction. We fight sometimes in our own minds of who's worthy and who's not. The easy answer is no one is, except the one that we lift up to adore. We wonder sometimes, are others worthy to come to the table? Are we worthy to come to the table? And Jesus Christ spoke and demonstrated his love without regret when, on the night in which he was betrayed, he communed at table with all his disciples. And even Judas, his love extends to all, even you and even me. So therefore, I can with truth say that all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are invited by him to come and to receive his body and his blood, that we, by receiving his gift, are strengthened. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Christ is the body of Christ, broken from the cross of Christ, shed for you. Because You can never do enough. One of the saddest stories I've heard, and it's truthful, was many years ago when a very successful, very wealthy, very good businessman, you may have heard of, named Ted Turner, was named by Time Magazine as Man of the Year. At the banquet, the Black Tie Affair, when they made that presentation to him, it wasn't a joyous time for him. For we learned in that story, in that event, what had driven him. It wasn't the joy of the job or the fun or the service of others. I guess he had had a fairly strict and abusive father. And you can Google it and see. But at his acceptance speech, being recognized by all the world through Time Magazine as a Man of the Year, with tears streaming down his face, he holds that magazine up to heaven, I guess, to his deceased father. And he just said, "Is this enough?" The truth of the matter is, in any other path, it's never enough. But in Christ Jesus, it's always more than enough through His love that He has no regrets for. So out of praise, let us stand and sing praises to our loving Savior. both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.